me on the phone with Prince. Don says, now, I want you to know it's raining. And Prince is like, yes, it's raining. And are you okay? And Prince is like, can you make it rain harder? And I was like, right on. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to think
of this thing called life. WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It is 5:09 and it is Friday. It's April 22nd, 2016. Welcome to another business day, the final business day of the week. We have a lot to talk about today. Paul Nolte is in-house today, our in-house portfolio manager. We're also going to be talking later in the broadcast about McDonald's and what they're doing with the Big Mac. Believe it or not, they're actually tinkering with it. Peter Frost is here from Crane's Chicago Business. But first, your overnight market intel from the WGN Market Desk. Asian stocks fell today after Wall Street broke a three-day winning streak and declined. Investors sold traditional safe play stocks such as phone companies and utilities as they pored over earnings for clues about the trajectory of the U.S. economy. Analysts say companies are struggling to meet some profit expectations. The Dow Jones fell about 113 points yesterday, about a half a percent. The Standard & Poor's 500 off about 11 points. The Nasdaq lost about 2 points. Benchmark U.S. crude oil gained rose nearer to $44 a barrel. The dollar gained against the yen and fell against the euro. Here's what we can expect today. No major economic reports are scheduled for today, but the real estate firm Zillow will reveal median home rental prices for March. There are, however, several major companies reporting quarterly financial results. Caterpillar, Chicago-based McDonald's, Oak Brook-based McDonald's, and American Airlines Group expecting to report earnings before the market opens today. Chicago-based Sears Holdings Company says it will close 68 Kmart stores and 10 Sears stores as it struggles to restore profitability. The ailing company has said, had said back in February it would accelerate the closing of unprofitable stores. It says the move is expected to generate a meaningful level of cash from the liquidation of store inventories from the sale or sublease of some of the related real estate with these stores. Stores will close in late July. Two Kmart stores will close in mid-September. Uber says it settled a pair of major class action lawsuits in California, Massachusetts that will keep its drivers independent contractors instead of employees. The settlement announced by the ride-sharing company last night is a major step toward keeping its current thriving business model that has been threatened as drivers seek more rights. Well, this morning we have a number of questions about where we're headed in the economy. Paul Nolte is here from Kingsview Asset Management. Good morning. Happy Friday, Paul.
Good morning. Nice to be here again.
We were discussing before the show began what direction we should take today, and I think there's a little bit of confusion about where, you know, investors might be headed after yesterday. We saw some really good companies come in with some disappointing earnings. The market ended a three-day winning streak. What's going on?
Well, I've got a quarter in my pocket, and I'm constantly flipping it and trying to figure out market direction here. It is an interesting mix right now, and again, what we've been talking about for a while is that the market generally is expensive, and that is showing up in some of the numbers. So, you know, we alluded to Google, Microsoft, Starbucks, considered maybe the big three as far as consumer stocks and technology. Coming in a little bit below expectations, revenues kind of struggling here. And economic data has been on the soft-ish side, so it's going to be hard for companies to get that top-line revenue growth. So what they're doing with a lot of the money that they do have, the cash flow that they're generating, is buying back stock. I can't figure out anything better to do with my money, so I'm going to buy back stock as opposed to open up a new plant, buy some equipment or whatever. And that's really been the dynamic for the markets. It's been the dynamic for a lot of companies. So the analogy that somebody used last week, and I'm going to steal it from them, is that we're riding a bicycle very, very slowly. So when you do that, you wobble a lot. Uh-huh. And that's kind of where we're at with the economy.
And so, is your guidance then to folks to stay right where you're at with the safe stuff?
The safer stuff. And certainly the last couple of days, investors especially have rotated to energy, basic materials, industrial companies that have really been beaten down earlier this year, and they've come roaring back. So a lot of the safer stocks have taken it on the chin the last couple days, especially relative to the market. But bonds have held up, and again, it's a smoother glide path. And so you don't have the wild ups, you don't have the wild downs, and that's really kind of what we're looking at right now.
As we were preparing the show for today, I was thinking I was going to talk to you about another winning day yesterday on Wall Street at the end of what was going to be a good week, because the numbers on Wall Street were, you know, way up there above 18,000, and I was going to say, you know, ask the question, do we move to the stocks a little bit? And yesterday's, you know, day on Wall Street sort of put the damper on that. But I guess the question is there ever a time where you'll suggest that you maybe move a little to stocks?
Oh, absolutely. But I think there it's going to be more of a valuation call. And as we talk to clients about that, it's kind of an odd concept to think about, but your starting point matters, where you start investing and from what level and what valuation. So if you go back to 1999, 2000, you go back to 07, 08, markets were very expensive at that point. So your returns over the next 3 to 5 years were poor or negative. Mm-hmm. You go to 2003, 2009, valuations were very inexpensive. Your returns were fabulous going forward. So your starting point and valuations of the markets do matter.
We're talking with Paul Nolte of Kingsview Asset Management. Our conversation will continue.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Investors broke a three-day winning streak yesterday, the Dow falling 114 points to close at 17,982. The S&P 500 shed 11 points. The NASDAQ composite ended the day fractionally lower. Uber has settled a pair of major class action lawsuits in California and Massachusetts to keep its drivers independent contractors instead of employees. Under the deal, Uber will pay $84 million to the plaintiffs in the two states, another $16 million if the company goes public and meets certain goals. Sears Holdings has announced more store closings amid sales declines at its namesake department stores and Kmart discount chain. The retailer will shutter 68 Kmart locations and 10 Sears stores this summer after suffering its 11th straight year of comparable sales declines. Starbucks, on the other hand, reports a 16% increase in fiscal second quarter earnings after opening a total of 350 stores around the world. Starbucks said sales were the best of any non-holiday quarter, jumping 9%. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
It's 520. Welcome back to The Opening Bell. We have Paul Nolte in studio this morning, Kingsview Asset Management. By the way, if you want to sign up for Paul's Nolte notes, that's hard for me to say, Paul. Nolte's notes, you can do that. Just go to kingsview.com/WGN. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Sign up for it. It's kind of helpful.
Got to do a little alliteration, make it a little interesting.
But the payoff is going to be good because your notes every week sort of direct people where to go and offer some free market advice.
With a little tongue-in-cheek as well.
Sure.
So. Absolutely.
So what are you telling people this week? I know we were talking a little bit about baseball last week in your notes, and the week before maybe, but where are you headed this week?
Well, this week, you know, we may be actually heading a little overseas. You know, we finally have the dollar easing its rise. It really shot up the last 2 years or so, and it's kind of flattened out here again as other countries are reducing their interest rates. We're seeing the dollar at least come back a little bit. So we're seeing a little bit better valuation, certainly. And we talked about the valuation of the U.S. market. It's very cheap, outside the United States. So when people talk emerging markets, it's a wonderful place to be. Russia is selling at 8 times earnings. We're at 20. Brazil is at 9 times earnings. But there's problems there. It's certainly not an easy investment. So international markets look interesting. They're starting to pick up their performance relative to U.S. So we're starting to look outside the U.S. borders.
Yeah, I thought about you last week as I was watching the start of impeachment of the Brazil's president and emerging markets in other places as well where there are troubles. How do you navigate some of these political issues to get beyond that for investments?
Well, you know, I try not to pick a country. So I'll allow other managers who have boots on the ground and wandering around those areas to pick those stocks and do that type of stuff. So I will look for a very broad-based international, broad-based emerging market investment as opposed to say, okay, we need to be in Brazil, we need to be in Vietnam, whatever the case might be. Don't have that background, don't have that experience, and certainly not knowledgeable about the local economy. So we'll have somebody else do that for us.
One of the things that I've been meaning to ask you, we briefly talked about this, I think, a week or so ago, about selecting a portfolio manager and what steps people should take when they do that. And you gave us some tips about what to look for generally. But let's say we have settled on you as a portfolio manager, for instance. What is the most important step for people when they do that, that they should keep in mind?
Well, I mean, there's some questions that you want to ask. Certainly one of them is compensation. How do you get paid? Because there's a lot of different ways advisors get paid in this business. The other part is, again, how often are you going to talk to me? What are you going to do to my portfolio? What is it going to look like? What direction do you normally take? How often do you review the portfolios? And then certainly what kind of philosophy do you have about investing? There's many that say, you know, we're going to be always in, we'll rebalance a little bit, we're going to get all the different asset classes, some of them are going to be a little bit more targeted. So it really depends on your style, and you have to feel comfortable with the person that you're working with. I mean, ultimately, they're your person that's going to be handling your financial future, so you have to be comfortable with what they're doing, how they're doing things. And have a good relationship with them.
Do I give you access to do whatever, or do you check with me first before you make changes, or how does that work?
Usually in our world, in the investment advisory world, we have discretion. Mm-hmm. So what we normally will do is, as I tell our clients, I'm going to define the sandbox for you. So this is the program that we're going to use. When I get outside that sandbox, then we're going to chat. So if, we have this premonition that's really clear that the markets are going down 40%, which really doesn't necessarily always happen. But, I mean, if we look at things and say, you know, we're going to deviate from what we really set up to start with, let's sit down and talk about this. But as long as we're playing in that sandbox of asset allocation, how much in stocks and bonds and so on, generally we have a carte blanche to do what we need to do there. So what we do is we put ourselves in a fiduciary position. We're putting your interests before mine. Because of the way we're compensated.
Do you also make a choice as the portfolio manager that you don't want a certain client?
I've had one or two situations where that's been the case. I fall into this myself. It's normal. I want 20% when the market's going up, and please don't lose me any money. So we've had a few clients every once in a while that are a little bit more unreasonable that way. So it's a tough discussion. Mm-hmm. That's happened once or twice in my past.
We have about a minute left as we head into the weekend. What do you like in terms of stocks or bonds?
No, actually still like bonds. We're getting a little bit better returns now out of the corporate side as some of the stuff is moderated. China's a little bit better, that we're looking right now. The stock market again has recovered all the losses from earlier this year. So we're back into the same boat of very high valuations, generally slow economic growth and slow earnings growth as we've seen here recently. It's going to be a tough slog for the stock market. So we will be going interestingly sideways, I think, over the longer term, and the longer term being 3 to 5 years.
Paul Nolte, Kingsview Asset Management. Thanks for being with us today on the Opening Bell. Have a great weekend.
Enjoy. Thank you.
All right.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's 5:38 here on the Opening Bell. Oak Brook-based McDonald's among the companies reporting earnings before the market opens today. We're expecting those any moment this morning. In the meantime, McDonald's is getting ready to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Big Mac, and believe it or not, they're tinkering with it a little. Peter Frost is the food writer at Crane Chicago Business. He's been writing about that, and he is with us this morning on the Opening Bell. Peter, what is McDonald's thinking with this? Why would they even begin to tinker with this institution, if you will?
Okay, so the Big Mac is getting bigger and it's getting smaller. McDonald's is releasing a new, larger Big Mac that's called the Grand Mac. It's going to be a third pound of beef versus less than that before. They were doing 10th pound patties, and these are going to be 6th pound patties. On top of that, they are making the bun bigger. It's basically just a larger Big Mac. And they're also doing a smaller one, which is sort of a single-layer Big Mac that's supposed to be easier to eat on the run. The reason why this is news, McDonald's and other fast food companies mess around all the time with new items, right? Mm-hmm. But never has McDonald's touched its signature item, which is the Big Mac. Just the fact that they're touching this thing, the fact that they're experimenting with it, really signals to me that they're very serious about trying something new.
Yeah, the first thing I thought of when I saw this was Coke.
New Coke?
New Coke versus old Coke. You don't really mess around with something like that. What's the danger here?
Well, I mean, yeah, the danger is the same.
It's the same,
right?
Yeah.
You can't, you know, this is it's a 50-year-old product. People associate Big Mac with, it's almost synonymous with the brand. And so anytime you mess around with it, you're taking a risk on, you know, it's just a risk. It's a risk to the brand. If people don't like it, if it doesn't feel right, if it doesn't look right, it has a potential to damage.
So the Grand Mac and the Mac Jr.,
yes,
they're going to roll these out in the test markets. They're really good about doing these test markets. Where's this going to start?
So it started already, and it started in the Columbus, Ohio, and Central Ohio area. They did about 120 stores there, and then they're doing it in the Dallas-Fort Worth metro, which this is a total of about 430 stores.
So the things that they're changing about it, I see the one part of this, the better, you know, to eat on the run. Because if you do like a Big Mac, you've ever grabbed one at lunch in your car, you know that they're kind of messy and you might as well wear a bib.
Sure.
So
yeah.
That's, I can see that part of it.
Right. I mean, I just think it adds a little news to the brand. It gets their brand in the news. It gets the sandwich in the news. People are going to go out and try it. Oh, let's try the new bigger Big Mac or, you know, the smaller one for the car. It's a limited time offer right now. It's a test. I assume they're going to roll this out nationally. It's just something to bring a little energy and some news back into the brand.
But they have had a lot of energy, and they've had a gangbuster year. Why would they want more of that, or why do they need more of that? Is it sort of like when you get the high from having a good year that you want to continue that?
Well, they didn't have a good year. They had a good quarter.
Good quarter, I should,
right?
Yeah,
so McDonald's has still got a long way to go here. They were down in the depths for basically 2 years with really bad sales. They got a lot of energy in the brand when they decided to do all-day breakfast. But that's only going to last for so long, right? As soon as they start lapping those numbers year over year, they need something else to keep them going. And this is something. It's some new energy into the brand, right? And they also have a new value menu that they're testing, this two for $5. It's called the McPick. So McDonald's basically needs to, as a fast food company that's been around forever, you need to keep injecting energy. I keep saying energy, but it's important. You need to keep yourself in the news for the right reasons.
Is there a sense that, that people want these changes with the Big Mac? The customers have been telling them this?
No, I haven't heard anyone say anything about the Big Mac. I mean, what you're hearing a lot about McDonald's is, you guys need to figure out how to make your food taste better.
Right.
Right? So it's surprising to me that they have gone this route with the Big Mac. But then again, it's a product that everyone likes and that no one was complaining about, so maybe it's smart for them to take this and try to extend that line.
Well, I knew you were going to be on today, so I was asking around just to see what people's complaints about McDonald's were. French fries, number one complaint among everybody I asked.
No kidding.
French fries, they don't taste the same, and if you get them without the salt, they smother them with salt.
Yes.
Without the salt, they taste horrible.
Yes.
And then after that, it was just, we want, you know, the McGriddle. We want the McGriddle all day.
Oh, yeah.
And in this market. Because I don't think it's in this market, is it? Or limited in this market.
It's not all day. Yeah. The breakfast menu is limited in most markets. They are testing the McGriddle, however, for all day breakfast in other markets. And I wouldn't be surprised to see that here. It's not that much more difficult to execute. If you're already making the eggs and the sausage, you know, how more difficult it is to use the McGriddle, I don't know. But the fries, that's an interesting point, too. So if they're going to mess with the Big Mac, I wouldn't be surprised if you see some line extensions on fries. They're doing it in other markets around the world. They're sprinkling, it's like
coverings, chocolate. I even saw chocolate. It was one of them in Asia or one of the foreign countries. Yeah.
Right, yes. French fries with chocolate. Why not?
Why not?
But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they start messing around with those products too, like having some sprinkles to put on your fries.
The other thing that's been making the news and going along with this energy that's gotten a lot of publicity over the last week is the so-called McDonald's of the future.
Sure.
What is that all about?
Well, the McDonald's of the future is, it's not just one thing. It's sort of McDonald's idea of taking different stores and tweaking them. In some stores, that means kiosks, right? These ordering kiosks that basically look like giant iPhones, and you can customize your order on that. In other stores, it means, different mobile ordering lines or, more technology in the store. Some stores it means more customizable items, bigger hamburgers, more gourmet items.
You're listening to the Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the program. 548 on the futures markets this morning. The Dow futures up about 9 points. The S&P NASDAQ futures are mixed this morning. Let's get the latest on commodities now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Steve, good morning. Soybeans hitting the highest level in 8 months yesterday. Technical buying coming back into the market and investors now taking a look at perhaps lower soybean production due to rains in Argentina. On the other hand, corn and wheat futures down more than 2% in a profit-taking setback yesterday. Traders said trading volume heavy in all three commodities, and the looming expiration of the May options today injected further volatility in market moves that some analysts said were tied more to money flow than the fundamentals of supply and demand. Meanwhile, we turn to the Midwest cash hog market, doing pretty well, trading mostly 50 cents to a dollar higher yesterday. And at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, hogs were down slightly yesterday, while the live cattle futures ended the day mostly weak. We will get a cattle on feed report this afternoon, and it'll be interesting to see how many more cattle moved into feedlots in the past month. That's your money on 720 WGN.
Thanks, Orion. Back to our conversation now with Peter Frost of Cranes about the McDonald's news this week, changes coming for the Big Mac. Also, Peter, McDonald's has been testing out some locally sourced foods at its stores, stuff like sausages and other things that are to local areas like Wisconsin and Northern Illinois. What's up with that?
Sure. So, yeah, last year, for example, McDonald's did lobster rolls in the Northeast. Mm-hmm. They did pulled pork around Indiana and Michigan. They just rolled out into 120 stores in the Milwaukee area, of course, bratwurst, Johnsonville bratwurst they're selling. You're going to see a lot more of this regional specialties from McDonald's. That's one of the things that CEO Steve Easterbrook has sort of put in a mandate. He wants more customization by region. He said he's just going to, not have Oak Brook make all these decisions. Let the people in the markets make decisions on the different products.
And the franchisees, that's another thing that, sort of helped propel them a little, is that they're listening not only to the customers, but to the franchisees as well, to the people that run these little franchises.
Which is very important, because they have had some really tough relationships with franchisees, especially going back to the McCafe days when they rolled out McCafe. Franchisees didn't want it. It hasn't done great. They had to invest all this money. So they really need to repair their relationships with these franchisees. And by giving them more power, of course, that's going to make them happier.
Speaking of happy and money, what is it that is going to be the level of happiness here that the investors, the people who are investing in McDonald's say, okay, we're happy with that? Do they have to repeat like they did the last quarter, every quarter?
Kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Wall Street.
That's going to be tough, isn't it?
If your profits aren't going up, they're basically going down. And nobody Wall Street hates that. But you look at McDonald's stock right now, it's up near all-time highs. It's gone way up since Steve Easterbrook took office about a year ago.
Who are their biggest competitors? Who are they up against, would you say, or based on their numbers, on stock numbers?
Well, I mean,
is it Wendy's? Is it Burger King?
Yeah, I mean, Wendy's and Burger King are their traditional competitors. But McDonald's is increasingly facing a new raft of these fast casual restaurants. So, like Chipotle, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone says that Chipotle is a McDonald's competitor. It is, sort of. But there are all kinds of new, better burger chains. Habit Burger, Five Guys, Epic Burger here in Chicago, M Burger. There's all these better burger.
The Shake Shack place.
Shake Shack? Of course. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. Those are all McDonald's competitors. So they have a lot of new. It's not just Wendy's and Burger King anymore. They're going up against a lot of these smaller chains that are selling meals for under $10 that are, you know, with better food.
And then throwing into that, you mentioned Chipotle. They're getting ready to, at least they got the patent or the trademark for the burger place.
Right. Yeah. Chipotle's going to get into burgers too. Why not? I mean, they're getting into pizza in Denver. I mean, there's a brand that could use a little lift right now. Boy, they're hurting.
Do the millennials hurt all of these areas? Are the millennials eating fast food like they used to?
They are. And people say they're not. But, I mean, you know, in general, I think millennials are more concerned about their food than any generation in the past. So they're the ones who are demanding, cleaner ingredients, better quality food, higher quality food. But, yeah, there are still a lot of millennials who are eating at McDonald's because it's cheap.
Peter Frost of Cranes in Chicago. His latest you can read at cranes.com on McDonald's. Testing changes in the Big Mac coming soon. This morning, Big Mac, McDonald's on the New York Stock Exchange. The ticker symbol MCD at $125.86 a share. Down just about $2 yesterday, $2.69. We're waiting on earnings later this morning from McDonald's. We expect earnings from McDonald's Corporation first quarter at about 6:58 Central Time this morning. We're also waiting on earnings this morning from another Illinois company, Caterpillar, 5:30. Between 5:30 and 6:00, so sometime before the top of the hour, we expect to see Caterpillar earnings coming out today as well. So we'll continue to follow your money all through the morning through the Steve Cochran Show here on WGN, and we'll have the very latest for you again Monday morning on the opening bell when we're back for another full edition. Have a great weekend. I want to thank our producer, Mary Sandberg. Our engineer today is, through the week, is Ben Cortez. We want to thank him as well, Bob Ferguson today. Also, Minute Weight Night is a production to help with us today here on the opening bell.